Alex to gather once again. Thank you for buying us ears that hear. Thank you for us every watch. Thank you for lighting your word and lights up and floods every mind and every heart. Thank you for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you for every need here is met. Father, we give you praise and all of the glory. Thank you for togetherness in participation and comprehension. Glory to your name, O God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, you can have your seat. Amen. Okay, we started something on Sunday, and we'll just continue on the subject. And that's God's purpose for and in marriage. Of course, we've been able to define what marriage is. Of course, marriage in its simple definition is two things coming together to be one. Okay? That's a simple definition of marriage. But of course, our subject has to do with male and female, not things. Okay? Male and female, not organizations, not ideologies or ideas, not concepts. Male and female coming together to be one. Okay? And of course, we define marriage as a union in the flesh for men between male and female on the earth. Okay? If you remember Matthew 22, 25 to 30, Mark 12, 24 to 25, okay, Jesus responds by saying, there's the angels of God, for they neither marry. Of course, you remember the story that they told him to ask Jesus who had her or who will have her in the resurrection. Okay? And then Jesus responded by saying in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage. Okay? Of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 5, you will find how Moses says that you know what they quoted there, and Moses said, Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5, if brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband, of an husband's brother unto her. Okay? So they verily were reading from the book of Moses, but they wanted to hear out Jesus in what he would say. But, I'm coming somewhere. Of course, in Numbers chapter 36, Numbers 36 and verse 6, again you find, it says, this is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. Now, let me say again what I spent a lot of time saying on Sunday. Yes, this discussion has to do with marital union in the flesh, but we must not engage this subject or teach or have a discussion concerning this subject in the church, such that it will then make you to make light of Bible truths after. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? So, particularly Genesis to Malachi, you must tread softly. You must understand one simple fact. Like I said on Sunday, I'll still say it again, that no writer of the scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi, intended to teach marriage. Marriage taught in scripture is to teach salvation. Okay? Marriage taught in scripture is to teach salvation. I have a rule in my head that, you know, if you attempt to teach marriage from the Bible and you don't spend a good amount of time discussing salvation, we should be worried. Let me use careful words. Okay? We should be worried. Okay? That you take the scriptures and you teach from the scriptures union in the flesh, and you're not able to, even if it's just a simple mention, because it's meant to be difficult, that you are able to take Genesis to Malachi, discuss marital relationships or union, and not make mention of salvation. It should be scary to you. Amen? Hey, are you there? It should be scary. Now, am I saying we cannot just focus on a subject that we want to teach and just say what we need to say and move on? Okay? The point is this. Like I said before, I will say it again. The intent of the scriptures is Christ's salvation, which is God's plan for mankind, to be received by faith alone in the Christ. Christ's salvation, which is God's plan for mankind, to be received by faith alone in the Christ. That is the purpose or the essence of the writings. So, it's difficult. To be able to pick on the parables and leave out the message. It's difficult. Amen? So, as a preacher or as a messenger, your eyes must always be on the message. So it will be difficult for the messenger, or let me say the true messenger, to ignore the message. And then say other things. Why are you looking around? Amen. Okay? So, it's as though you were sent on an errand, go tell these people so and so, and then you get there, you say other things, and deliberately ignore what you were sent to say. Okay? So, it is important that that helps you to navigate the scriptures appropriately. John chapter 5, 45 to 47. I beg of you, always have the right posture and attitude in church meetings, okay? Ensure you do so always. Okay? I don't have to start pausing in the sermon to address someone, not especially those who have been here a while. Amen? Okay, thank you. In John chapter 5, verse 45 to 47, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Of course, in the study of the book of Genesis, we're able to understand that verse, what that means. Okay, not necessarily that Moses' writings are accusations or written to accuse men. No, no. Of course, you must understand the people to whom he wrote. You have to get back to at least verse 39 to 40, and then you have to read before to see the people to whom he was speaking. Okay? These were people who made light of the scriptures, and that's why he said what he said in verse 39 and 40. You cite the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life, but they will testify on it. Okay? So in Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 to 16, these are people that wrestled with the scriptures. Okay? They struggled with it. And then he spoke to them this way. So because of their unbelief, Moses accused them. Are you there? Not that Moses' writings are just busy accusing. No. Moses wrote to testify of Jesus. Amen? Okay, so, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So the scriptures are written concerning the Christ. That must always be at the front burner in your Bible study or in your Christian faith. So once you understand the purpose of the scriptures, it will always help you to navigate appropriately. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, male and female created he them. Genesis 2:24, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Of course, we read a number of places. I think we just go to Matthew alone, then mention the others. Of course, we read Mark 10, 1 to 12, which is same as Matthew 19. And we also looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. And Ephesians chapter 5, I think we read from verse 22 down to 32. Or to the end. So in Matthew 19, the Pharisees tempted him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That's verse 3. Okay, and like we said, that will probably raise two questions. Is it lawful to put away your wife at all? Or is the issue to put away your wife for every cause? That is, every error, put away your wife. Now, I think I've said this before in the previous teachings on marriage, that the Bible is biased in marital relationships such that it is very loud and affirmative about man's authority in the relationship. Or let me say male. The male authority in the relationship. Okay? And very, would I use the word silent, or seems to relegate the woman to the male's or the man's authority in the relationship. Okay? It is a man that would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It is a man that will take a wife to himself. It is a man that will put his wife away. Okay? Now, of course, you will begin to, if you are in the flesh, you will be doing, what's that thing again? I'm always mixing it up. Is it anti-feminism or feminism? You'll be doing, that. You say, no. So the woman has the rights. The woman is this. The woman is, but that's not the point. Amen. The subject is salvation through faith in Christ. Except you can be Christ. Amen. Are you there? So the man is to represent what God can do. Hallelujah. And the woman is to represent mankind. Okay? So don't do feminism with scripture. When you do that, that's rebellion against God. Hallelujah. God is God. He's never changed. He'll always be God. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change it not. Amen. And man would always be in man's place. Glory to God. Okay? So if you see these things in parables and you keep your eyes on the message, there won't be any issues. Okay? So like I said before, a man putting away his wife simply means it is the man that can permit divorce. It is the man that cleaves. It is the man that puts away. It is God that saves. It is God that can unsave. Okay? Now, from man's perspective, marriage is to agree to be joined to accept, to agree to be joined to. Okay? Faith in the man. And then there will be a joining. Now, divorce from the perspective of man, or let's speak in parables, from the perspective of the woman in the union. Divorce, or let's speak in parables and then in reality. Okay? So, divorce, of course, the Bible has put it in the way that it is the man that can put away. Now, from the perspective of the woman, in the reality of what it teaches, divorce, I've said this before, will be to reject the offer of a marriage. Not to have married, and then to now say, I'm not marrying again. It is to reject the marriage. Okay? So, divorce in the reality of God's plan is to not accept God's plan. Okay? Not to accept and say, I don't want again. Mm-mm. Okay? And then if you look at the way Jesus answered, he says, because of the hardness of your heart, he allowed you. It was to teach them. Because of the hardness of their hearts. Hallelujah. Because of the hardness of their hearts. So, if they had followed Moses' lead in his parables, what he will be teaching them is for them to see from their marriage that this is what God will do in Christ for you. Okay? But because of their unbelief, he then also taught them. Amen? To be able to see that if you respond in rebellion and unbelief to God's plan, this is what it means. This is how it will be. There will be a separation. There will not be a joining. Okay? You will not walk in God's plan. You will not come into that promised land. Hallelujah. Okay? So you must understand all of this. Because it's a healthy approach, as far as I am concerned, it's a healthy approach, okay, in Bible study. Before you now begin to, okay, talk about marriage as a union in the flesh. If there's anything wrong with it, no, okay? But the scriptures have been tailored in such a way, and it must be used that way. So we must be careful in how we use the scriptures. Okay? Now, let me say this to you as a preacher, that you must always be mindful of you, of who sent you, than how do I put this now? Than the drive to be the people's man or to meet the needs that are before you. Okay? So you do ministry from who? You do ministry from who sent you, not from what did you meet when you got there. Amen? So there can be people with marital challenges and all of that. Of course, we're expected in God's word to handle life's issues from the wisdom that the word of God gives to us. Okay? Like Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Obviously, they must have asked him a question the way he started. Okay? If you look at the whole book, don't forget chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. He said that, hey, there's one guy amongst you. With the sin he commits, even the Gentiles do, you're a sinner. That's a great sin, okay? And then he carefully rebukes them and says, this is what you have done in this area. And then when he got to chapter 7, concerning what you wrote unto me, this is what I will say about it, okay? This is what I think you should do. This is the Lord's commandment. Amen? Are you following? But that does not mean, because you find that in 1 Corinthians 7, now gives you the latitude to enter scriptures. I begin to say, just talk about anything. You get into Genesis 2, Genesis 3, all you are saying is marriage, Adam and Eve. You would use the scriptures wrongly. Amen? So it should be that your knowledge of God's word now helps you to conduct yourself in that fleshly union. Are you following what I'm saying? Hey, are you there? Are you sure? Your knowledge of God's word will now help you to conduct yourself as God wants in that fleshly union. So it's not until we spiritualize a fleshly union that it will mean something before God. But it's not until that. I mean, look at what Jesus said. He said they did not marry or are given marriage in the resurrection, but as the angels of God. Okay? So that means by the time those seven brothers and that sister, that woman, by the time they get to heaven, okay, and then they're now trying to, I married that first, I married that second, I married that third. Who, according to the law of God, will be the husband of this woman? And then just simply responds. In other words, in the resurrection, it won't matter. Amen? So that firstly, as a man in Christ, should tell you something. Once a marital union now begins to dictate your entire life, you are in the wrong. Something is wrong with your approach to life. That means at the end of life, what will be obvious to you is that you allowed something that will not matter in the resurrection to determine your life's course. Now, I'm not saying don't marry, amen. Neither am I saying do your marriage anyhow. I'm not saying so. Hallelujah. Amen? One other thing we can say, that in the resurrection, whether you studied theater arts or medicine, won't matter. As a matter of fact, it's already not mattering on the earth. Amen? It's already not. It depends on the story theater that will not be a hospital that the doctor will go and work in. Amen. Of course, there's, you know, the dignity and the honor of the course. Once I study engineering, great. But what have you been engineering? Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you following? So it's not that in the resurrection, you now show before the judgment seat of God. And then you say, what do you say? I'm an engineer. Engine, where do you think you are? Engineer. Uh-huh. Say, I was the president of my country. Oga? Chief. No disciple. Chief. Hallelujah. So, if a believer truly values spiritual things, he must begin to conduct his life as one that values spiritual things. Some things you would be able to easily handle. Some things will be a temptation to you. Amen? Are you there? So, the sanity begins to come to us as believers when we first of all handle the scriptures. As they were given to us. When we see a portion and we don't major on the parable and minor on the message. Okay, we begin to receive sense, wisdom, sanity when we handle the scriptures aright. So Jesus said to them, have ye not read? Matthew 19, verse 4. That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Of course, in verse 4, he quoted Genesis 1:27. In verse 5, he quoted Genesis 2:24. And then in verse 6, he says, of course, he's answering that question, that haven't you read those portions? If you have read those portions, then they are no more two, but one flesh. Okay? So from the beginning, God's plan in the flesh is two becoming one. Like I said on Sunday, not two pretending to be one. Two becoming one. Okay? So why seek a separation when you decided, made conscious decisions to be one in the flesh? Why seek a separation? Now, Abu said that, and I'll say, what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. In Bible, it is nowhere written that it is God that cements a union in the flesh. Okay? So, when it is said that God ordained marriage, understand what that means. He made male and female. That's the meaning. Alright? He made male and female. Of course, you know, over the years, a lot of things have happened. You find people now say that, you know, just trying to make you see that there's God's hand in this thing, that God started this thing. You know, he'll now tell you that there is one particular person that you must marry. So after a marriage seminar like that, everybody now begin to pray. Locate my missing rib. Or may I be located? Of course, right? And then now looks like, even if the person I'm supposed to marry is in Kano, God, do your thing. Okay? Walk the walk. Make something happen. You know, I'll just be on Facebook one day and, you know, I'll just mistakenly chat somebody. Ah, that's my missing read. I hope you know, and I believe you do, that you can marry whomsoever you will. Amen? Whomsoever. You will. Praise God. Okay. Let me say it this way. Brethren, listen to me. Your laugh is making me to laugh. You have options. Praise God. But that makes more sense, right? You have options. Of course, those who are married, I'm not talking to you. You don't have option again. Okay? But to those who are not, you have options. You can set limits or boundaries to your options according to what you have in your head. Right? If you have TDH, amen. You know what that is? I believe you do. If you have that in your head, of course, that will limit your options. Right? That was the opposite of TDH. SF. SF words. Ah, SFU. Okay, I didn't say so. I was told. I just echoed what I heard. So if you have SFU in your head, to limit your options too. Or maybe you have more options. Amen? You can now begin to do permutation, combination, SDU. Hallelujah. Okay? So, you must understand this. So, Jesus said to them, if you have read Moses, you would understand what a marriage is. Male and female choosing to be one. Please, don't neglect that. Male and female choosing to be one. So, Jesus answered their question, actually, if you read carefully. He answered their question. He said, in the beginning, what is written is two becoming one in the flesh. So he reminds them and says, don't you know that when two join together, they become one? So that means in putting away, you are trying to put asunder to one to become two again. Okay? So, Jesus said in verse 6, they are no longer two but one flesh. That is, they are now one. So, it's abnormal to be seeking to divide that one to become two. That should be simple enough. Then, he then moves to the message. What exactly Moses was saying. Because they came from Moses to ask the question. But he now led them to the message of Moses. And then he said, what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay? So God's joining is salvation. God's marriage is salvation. Christ and the church in union is God's marriage. And that's the message that marital union in the flesh was used to teach in Scripture. So, in 1 Corinthians 7, like we said, that Paul clearly speaks as though due benevolence is the essence of marriage. That is, that joining of bodies. If that doesn't make sense, joining of reproductive organs. Is exactly. Okay? What the union is for. So that is why it makes no sense, for any partner in a marital relationship. I'm not referring to the one that you are not married to. Any partner in a marital relationship to refuse to render due benevolence to the other partner. Interestingly, on Sunday, we were going home and then radio was on and we were handling some marital issues and then someone called him, the man, and said that his wife said that he should be trusting the Lord for more grace to hold body as a minister of the gospel. Okay? And then she constantly refuses him. There is no marriage. Amen? Right? Makes no sense. So, spirituality in marriage doesn't touch that. You are being silly or foolish when you choose to deny your marital partner that which is due. There's nothing spiritual in it. It has to be an agreement. Okay, we want to fast. Okay, you are busy with a meeting. Okay, this, okay, that. And then we agree. And then just for that time. And Paul advises in 1 Corinthians 7, don't let it be long. Okay? So we can start from there to say the rendering of due benevolence, like I told you on Sunday, that's what I will be saying till the end of the teaching. The rendering of due benevolence is the reason male and female come together. So, humanly speaking, at the least, this should be your reason. humanly speaking. This should be your reason. Okay? Not before marriage, but to understand that that is what marriage is. Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay. Now, let's continue with Matthew 19. So, Jesus answers them according to Moses, according to his parable. And then also shows them the message of Moses' parable. To say that Moses used that to teach God's marriage or God's joining. And what God joins together, no man can put asunder. Okay? No man can put asunder. Okay? That is why Moses taught divorce or used divorce to teach, such that it is a man that causes asunder in God's plan. Are you following? It is a man that causes asunder in God's plan. God's plan is to join once and for all. Now, verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. I mean, you should be reading this and be thinking that as they were discussing union in the flesh, Jesus was also reasoning like them. Moses allowed them to put away their wives because of the hardness of their hearts. Hardness of their hearts concerning what? Concerning male and female coming together? Of course not. It will be concerning God's plan. Because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Okay? And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. I believe you understand that. Okay? So if you look at it from the perspective of fleshly union, and from the perspective of God's plan, you cannot be joined here and seek to be joined somewhere else. No. You are joined once and for all. Okay? So, seeking another joining is a sin. Okay? Is going contrary to the existing plan or protocol. So, fornication and adultery can make you understand spiritual things. Okay? That though you are joined, you are seeking another. Okay? Though you are joined, you are seeking another. Of course, in spiritual things, what word can you use to represent fornication and adultery? Say it out. Say it out. Thank you. Idolatry. Okay, if you get to Revelation chapter 2 into chapter 3, I mean, you find where Jezebel was used as an example. Okay? So, seeking another, aside from what God has given to you or supplied to you, it may be luring via false doctrine. That's speaking spiritually now. And other things. Okay, so verse 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, It is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this same, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs, okay, which were made eunuchs, and of course, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So I can start from here to start saying, life must be lived in purpose or with a purpose. From what Jesus said here, and from what we have seen so far, you should seek to be bound to the opposite gender with a purpose. It must be a reason, not just carelessly. And if you plan to live your life without being bound to the opposite gender, there must be a reason. Okay? So that means it is abnormal to find someone who, without reason, does not want to get married. It is abnormal. Okay? And it is not abnormal when you find someone who, by a certain purpose or certain reason, does not want to get married. Okay? So, as in marriage, with other areas of life, life must be lived with purpose and in purpose. The popular saying goes, if the purpose of a thing is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Okay? So if you make the most of every sphere of life, it must be with purpose. It must be with purpose. Okay? So, there is nothing wrong in a man and a woman agreeing to be in marital union and defining it by purpose. So, you know, say, why do I want to marry this person? When I'm around him, I just do somehow. My body does anyhow. What kind of... I mean, you marry plenty of people. Amen. Why do you want to marry him? He makes me happy. There are many people, your parents don't make you happy. Why do you want to marry her? She's beautiful. The only beautiful lady in the world? Of course not. Amen? So there must be something, there must be a reason. You want to be joined to someone for the rest of your life. The person is not going anywhere. Okay? So it must be done with purpose. Whatever it is, Naturally speaking, it must be purposeful. So we're moving from that base reason of bodies joined, okay, in terms of rendering due benevolence, to now take a step further to refer to purpose in terms of living life. Why are you marrying this person? What do you want to be doing together? Aside from that which is obvious. Why this person? Amen? So you won't go mystical to say, this is my missing rib. Why this person? Why not that person? Okay? So it is very possible that some of those things that people generally see, you can find the same in other persons. So, are you saying that if we bring 9 other persons that have the same attributes or qualities that you are talking about, you can change your mind on the spot? So, you need to understand that from the beginning. Why? Why am I with this person? Why do I want to marry this person? Amen? Now, let me say something a little to... No, let me hold on with that. So, Jesus says a man can decide not to get married. And from what we've said so far, it should obviously not be common. So the norm is to find a man and a woman, or men and women coming together to get married. Okay? So, naturally speaking, you must define your relationships. You must. I mean, it will help you to understand a lot of things early. This is what we want to achieve together. As a matter of fact, this achievement is what is bringing us together. This is what we are looking at. This is what we hope to achieve. This is what we are driving at. Okay? Not just, I am Yoruba, is Yoruba, she's Yoruba, and that's... No. Amen? So... even though you can basically say male and female bodies coming together to form a union is the basic reason, or can even be defined as marriage, you must be purposeful. You must be purposeful in your coming together. Okay? So it should help those who are in the stage of deciding to decide appropriately. Okay? Now, so that means that the physical body of the person you seek to get married to will matter. The soul of the person you seek to get married to will also matter. Okay? course, in terms of purpose. And then, as believers in Christ, the very core of the man's being will matter. Okay? So that will not just refer to spirit. That will actually refer to spirit and soul, the heart. That is, who he is in Christ and what he is fellowshipping with. When I'm saying he, I'm referring to male and female, so that I don't talk too much. Who is in Christ and what is fellowshipping with? Okay? So in terms of the physiology of the body, there's nothing wrong in desiring, I want someone that is tall. God help you with your wants and your desires. I want someone that is fair. Nothing bad. I want someone that is that. Great. I want someone that is on the big side, on the small size, and all of that. Okay? I don't want to go beyond that. Amen? Amen? Okay. So, there's nothing wrong with all of that. Dentition, way you do stuff, and of course that's already bringing in the soul or the person within. All of that, this is what you want, this is what you like. Great, go for it. But it's perhaps, how do I put this together? Let me say it this way. There are then certain points in life to certain persons that there are certain things that you want to have that you may have to forgo for a greater good. Amen. I want this, I want that, great. For some people, all the ones in their head, they will never find. The person is not of this world, physically speaking. Okay? But there are certain things that you can forego. Okay? We may have pictures in our head, this is how I want her to be, this is how I want him to be, but there are certain things you can forego for a greater good. Okay? So we can continue to discuss and go on and on in terms of physical things. We talk of educational background, tribe, and all of that. You see, don't get offended when Hausa marries Hausa, Yoruba marries Yoruba. It's just natural. Amen? But it becomes a problem when, what do you say, if you marry from another tribe, I will kill you. Or, I'll never give my blessings and all of that. Okay? But it should be expected. It should be normal. Okay? To just find that people of same whatever gravitate one to another. Okay? Looking for other things just to say so that I can move on. In terms of education, of course, you expect people with certain level of intellectual prowess to gravitate to one another as well. Okay? Times you find doctor married doctor, of course, kind of explain things like that. You probably, maybe they've been in school morning and night, all they saw was fellow students and all of that. And then they could just easily pick. At times, family background may also be an influence to this. Daddy is a doctor, mommy is a doctor, and then the easy thing is for me to be a doctor and to marry a doctor too. So things like that. Okay? I could just go on and on. At times too, it's not abnormal for a guy to look out for his mom in a woman. Okay? It's not abnormal. Because if he was raised by his father, he will likely just... I don't say... I mean, qualities. Okay? You behave like this, you look like this. And it's just normal. Alright? So, all of those things shouldn't bother you, as it were. Alright? Now, as believers in Christ, what is of great value to you? Without talking much, it should be, as a believer, it should be spiritual development and ministry. Right? It should be spiritual development and ministry. And by that, every other thing that comes with it. A local church and all of that. Ministerial training. You know. So, that purpose, that reason must be the backbone of your purpose in a marital relationship. Okay? When I say that, I don't mean it now becomes all that matters. I didn't say so. I'm choosing my words carefully. It now becomes backbone. I'm not saying that because spiritual development and ministry is what is important to me as a believer, I now decide to marry who I'm not attracted to. It doesn't make sense. Okay? That doesn't make any sense at all. Alright? So it doesn't mean that you put that all away. It doesn't mean that that desire to have someone, okay, who has gone to school, who is able to speak this way, who is able to do like this, who is able to do that, will now be thrown out of the window. No. But your purpose as a believer must now be the backbone in your decision making. Now, let me say something that you find some people say, such that marriage is painted as though you ought to have been very spiritually mature before you can get married. It is not true, and it is true. Amen? Are you there? It is not true, and it is true in that sense. It is not true in the sense that it is a union in the flesh. I don't need to grow spiritually or to have grown spiritually to take on a wife or to marry a husband. Two adults can come together and be married. Okay? But speaking in terms of living life with purpose, and I'm talking to a believer. Now, for a believer, that simply refers to someone who has believed in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. Okay? Now, ideally, we should expect that, okay, maybe this person haven't been saved, has been in an assembly and has been growing, or has been in a church and has been receiving training as he or she ought to. Now, it is possible to have believers who cannot see spiritual development and ministry as purpose for living. Are you following what I'm saying? It is possible to have believers who
at the moment cannot see spiritual development and ministry as purpose for living. They can't see it as something to die for, to be sacrificial for. They can't see it as something to wake up every day to be about. So, for such people, it will be difficult. Don't you think so? It will be difficult to make that a purpose for their lives or to guide their decisions in marital relationships. But if the ideal is there such that they are in a local church, of course, there's room for growth. There's room for development. There's room for change. And along the line, it then becomes something that they begin to adjust to and all of that. Hope you understand my point. Okay? So, when someone says, that to get married, you need to be very... I remember someone said that to us, myself and my wife, when we were doing marriage counseling and all of that. See, that it's not that hard. Okay? But there's some truth in that, in quote. All right? I hope you get my point. Hey, are you there? There's some truth in that. That it's not every believer that you can marry, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians 7 and 39, it says, marry only in the Lord. Doesn't mean, okay, you are, as long as you are born again. Mm-mm. Values must be similar. There are those who are saved who don't like going to church. Yes. There are those who are saved who run away from ministry. Yes. There are those who are saved who are prayerless. There are those who are saved who are used to, they are used to dishonor and are unfaithful with spiritual things. Of course, if you are not those things, that is enough sense to tell you this is no-go area. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? So, as men born of God, who we are in Christ and our spiritual values should affect and influence our decisions when it comes to marital relationships. It must. Now, let's ask a little question. Like we read in Deuteronomy 25 and 5 and Matthew 22. Why did Moses say a seed must be raised? Okay, so let's put together Numbers 36 and 6 and then Deuteronomy 25 and 5. Don't marry without. Marry within. Also in Numbers 36, don't marry without. Marry within. Don't marry a stranger. Stay in the family and get married. Of course, that's only in the Lord. All right? Now, the next one, a seed must be raised. Okay? A seed must be raised. So the union must be productive and fruitful. Now, naturally speaking, if nothing is wrong, when male and female come together to reproduce, there will be a child as a result of that. Amen? If they come together to reproduce, there will be a child as a result of that. That child will be raised in the house. to become a man or a woman, to live alone, to become responsible and all of that. Now, that firstly should teach you spiritual things. Okay? In the sense that the union between Christ and the church is meant to fill the earth. Okay? So, Moses would then use the natural phenomenon of male and female coming together to raise children, to speak of spiritual development, or basically ministry. That there must be multiplication, there must be increase. There must be children that you will become responsible for. That's why in Proverbs 22, verse 5 and verse 15, or is it verse 6, sorry, verse 6 and verse 15, the child to be trained, the child to be disciplined, yes, that happens in the natural, but that is to teach spiritual nurturing, spiritual development, spiritual maturing. Okay? So, in terms of fleshly union, as men born of God, it now means, in making a decision to be married to another, marry in the Lord. In the Lord should not just mean to you, as long as he or she is born again. It should mean to you that the values I have, they have as well. The values I have, they have as well. Now, the fleshly union must now also be productive in spiritual things. So, it will not be that because I married, I will grow spiritually. Mm-mm. It will be that though I'm married, I will yet grow spiritually and be useful to the Lord. Hope you understand the difference. So it's not that because you had that ceremony, you just develop spiritual maturity. Or but as one who values spiritual things, that union in the flesh will never be an hindrance to your service or in your service to the Lord. Rather, you will take advantage of it to serve the Lord better. So, if your spiritual values could affect your choice, your spiritual values should also influence how you live together. Amen? Hey, are you there? Your spiritual values should influence how you live together. Okay? So, as men in Christ, you should not, because you understand that marriage is a union in the flesh, be totally fleshly about it. So, you must understand the boundaries. Okay? So, You conduct that wedding and then you pronounce your husband and wife and then say you may kiss the bride and you kiss before the congregation is allowed, accepted. You can choose not to. Okay? Because it's supposed to be an affair between you two. But it means that you can now do this. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So that you understand that this is a union in the flesh, you know, that it doesn't mean you should be completely fleshly about it. Okay. You must yet be a man born of God, even in your fleshly union. Okay? So we can begin to answer that God's purpose does not change even in marriage. Or God's purpose in marriage is for men to be able to understand his plan and function in it. So let me say this and we'll close. So if you are a sound believer, taught well in scripture, you are married and you have children you are responsible for, what should that teach you every day? It should constantly remind you of your spiritual responsibility. That will now be a visible parable to you that I'm responsible for 3 children, for 4 children, to have 1 disciple. How many people am I responsible for spiritually? Here is a parable every day. I wake up to it every day. Does it help me in any way to see what I ought to be doing and much more spiritually? Amen? Okay? So, in a marital union, your knowledge of scripture should help you to function as you should. It should be a parable to you. Okay? So you love your wife very dearly, you love your husband very dearly, great. But there must be a backbone of God's love for you in Christ. Okay? It must drive how you reason. Okay? It mustn't be the way out to worldliness. Godlessness. As men born of God in our marital relationships, we must yet remain godly. Hallelujah. So I'll just stop here. We'll continue. Maybe one more session and we'll be done. Or maybe not. I don't know.